B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is the 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. And the 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Take advantage of Guida Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. I assume on NBC Sports Philadelphia, we'll have Game 3 tonight?
Yes, indeed.
Game 3 of the 2008 World Series. And this is the game that broke Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Just broke them.
Yep.
I won't tell you what happened, but I can tell you that Jamie Moyer started this game against Tampa Bay's hottest pitcher, Matt Garza. And Moyer came up with an effort.
He did. And I know you still don't know how.
Well, sometimes when you get... when you face a left-hander, especially, Joe, well, a left-hander who throws less than 80, you're just not geared up after seeing 90-plus. And sometimes that pitcher can be effective, but you have to play your best defensive lineup.
Come on, man.
That's good. You're going to hear that tonight. I'm just getting used to it.
You know, outside of Burrell and Howard, I will say the defense from Chooch and Utley was good enough. Rollins was great. Victorino, Worth, they did have good defense.
Oh, you're missing somebody who was key in this series.
Who'd I mean?
Pedro Feliz. At third base was scooping everything in this series.
He was scooping everything. And Howard was okay with the glove. The throws were bad, but he actually picked it decent enough in 08 with the glove. It was with the throws that you couldn't trust.
Yeah.
So outside of Burrell, everybody could field their position.
Yeah, I forgot about that bonehead play Jason Worth had in game two. He got picked off first base.
Yeah.
By Rocco Baldelli, who, by the way, he's the fifth guy on my all-Italian list. Rocco Baldelli. Andrew Phoenixville, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Andrew.
Mike, Ty, Nat, how you guys doing? Real quick, Mike, I just read something from Buster Olney. He's saying it's going to be 65 games he's here.
65? All right, what do you feel about 65, Tyrone? Do you like 65?
They're offering 60. They think the counter's going to be 65.
Okay, all right.
Well, Mike, do you think the Phils can hang around and push the Atlanta for the division title with a 65-game season, Mike?
No. No, I don't. I don't have that kind of faith.
It'll still be nice to hear T-Mac doing a couple games and just.
We'll be interested in it. I don't know. I mean, it could. Who knows? 65 games. Like you throw balls in the air, and who knows where they're going to land? So it's possible, I guess. If their pitching would have to be really good early, and that's possible too. Like Arrieta comes out of the gate, you know, before he gets worn down, and he gives you that viable third guy, maybe.
All right, and real quick about basketball, Mike. I know you were talking about the snitch line. That made me think of Stripes, where they get caught by the MPs. Bill Murray gets caught by the MPs when they go off to the strip club off the base. You know what I mean?
Oh, Stripes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like Stripes? Stripes was all right.
That movie's a classic. I can't get enough of that movie.
Yeah, a lot of people like Stripes. I like Stripes.
Real quick about Ben Simmons, Mike. Said today or either today or yesterday, he said Simmons is 100% right out of the gate. How big of a percent you think he's going to be?
I'm sorry, you faded out there, the first part of that.
Brett Brown said that Simmons isn't going to be 100% out the gate. So do you think he said like 80%, 85%?
Are you talking about who? Simmons?
Yeah.
I think Simmons is going to be 100%.
Oh, Brett Brown said he's not going to be 100% today.
Did Brett Brown say that? He's not going to be 100%?
Yeah, I read it on.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. That's kind of deflating.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's giving him a soft landing spot. It's possible he's doing that for him. Like, don't expect back. And then if he is 100%, it surprises everybody, and then, you know, everybody wins.
Mike, this is going to be like a potpourri of sports. If we got hockey, basketball, and baseball all going on at the same time, this is beautiful, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It's a collision.
And then it'll run us right into football.
It's funny because it's all diluted, but it is a collision of four sports.
This is nice. All right, guys. Well, have a good night. And
all right, man. Let me. Would you like a general knowledge question?
Sure, I would.
All right, here we go. Let's go here with the top grossing movies of the 1980s. So this one is 6, 7, 8th on the list. It grossed $197 million. Whip-wielding adventurer races Nazis to obtain a different powerful relic.
Indiana Jones. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No. It wasn't the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade I was looking for. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's the same clue. I should have gave it to him. I'm sorry, man.
Call
right back. You get the rose. I'm sorry. Oh, it was the same clue. They have the two movies.
Oh, that's annoying.
Oh, that was my bad.
So I put it on the screen. Right now, the offer will be 60 games.
All right, 60 games.
We have 8 playoff teams in each league, extended playoffs for this year and next year to help make up some of the revenue. I put on the screen the teams that would have made the playoffs after 60 games last year.
And that would have been the Phillies.
Phillies would have made it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It would have been the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Braves, Phillies, the Padres. Oddly.
So that's what the criteria is going to be. So they got a shot.
They have a shot. Interesting, Washington would not have made it. The World Series champs would not have made it. So something fluky will happen if it's 60 or 65 games. And that's why I think the Phillies actually do have a shot to make the extended 18 playoffs.
Last year was Dodgers, Milwaukee, Cubs, Braves, Phillies, San Diego Padres, Cardinals, Rockies. All right. Listen, I can't look at that team and go, yeah, that's they're going to get off to a good start and it's shortened season and they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't have enough faith.
Well, I don't blame you, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Other teams, the Phillies the last 2 years with this similar personnel got off to, they were in first place after six.
Listen, if they get, if like Nola, you know what Nola's going to give you.
You upgraded your number two.
Wheeler, I'm hoping that he finds a groove because he certainly has the potential to be solid there. And Arrieta, if you get the three guys that give you consistent starts in that short of a season, and you win 3 of every 5.
You're in. You're a lot.
Yeah.
With 18,
and
you're
so
a lot.
That's the key. Like, those three guys, and those guys can eat up innings enough, I think, or you won't tax your bullpen. And the 4 and 5 isn't as prevalent in a shortened season.
No. Now, they wouldn't have a shot in hell in the postseason, but let's just get there.
Unless, you know, you got three going good. Like, you know,
that's where
season's going to come soon enough, and Arrieta's got to be your guy.
Yeah, see, that's where
it's all about him, man.
That's where I lose faith.
Pat Newark. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, Pat?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, three things, actually. Hackenberg pitched in high school. The only problem was he was wild.
He was wild?
He walked 20 more batters than he struck out.
Wow.
And his senior year in high school.
Wow, that's good information, man.
Yeah.
So he couldn't find it.
I read an article on it. Second thing, you missed Chris Carter as a player that left Philadelphia.
He wasn't a superstar when he was here, though. He wasn't a star player here. He was a promising player, but he wasn't a star.
Well, he was one of their best receivers when he was here his last year before he left.
How many catches did he have?
All he did was score a touchdown.
Yeah, but how many catches did he have?
I have no idea.
And the reason why they got rid of him, you know the reason, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know the reason.
Yeah, so like it wasn't like where I'm looking at like a conventional guy was a star. They let go and became a star somewhere else. Chris Carter had his demons.
Oh, definitely had his demons.
Yeah.
But he seemed to get him straightened out. I don't know if he would have been Philadelphia, but I guess he did when he went to Minnesota. So,
yeah.
Third thing.
Yeah.
I think this indictment that you're giving, that they don't think Wentz is the franchise quarterback, I think it's more on their backup quarterback. They don't think that he's good enough. And I think that's the reason they got Hurts. I'm going to leave you at that. Thanks.
All right. I don't agree with the backup theory. So. I you know, that's the conventional wisdom, that they want to upgrade their backup position because they didn't have faith in. But this guy's not going to be ready to be a backup anyway. So it goes out the window. So Christian Hackenberg couldn't find it. But see, now he would have been bench jockeyed to death.
Yeah.
Oh, nail it down, righty. Can't find it. You know, that would have got in his head. He would have been all over the place.
Yeah.
Guy like that, probably threw hard. Let's go, Rich in Lehigh Valley. Rich, you're on 97.5 for that. Rich, what's up?
How you doing, bud?
What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Mike, the NBA and NHL seem like they're going to be the first ones back, correct?
Yes.
Or do you agree with that?
Yes.
So how would you agree that they should just start with the playoffs and not have these extra
No,
games?
I think it's good to have these games. It's good. You have to kind of move your way into the next level. And I think I'd rather have more games, but, you know, I like some regular season games before you get into the playoffs. Plus, you're allowing everybody else to stay in it.
Yeah, but I can see that in hockey, Mike. But in basketball, the teams are so far apart. You know what I mean? Hockey, a team can get hot, but in basketball, it just doesn't happen that way.
Well, no, we're not expecting the teams that are, like, lower seeds to rise up, but it's good to get everybody playing again before you get into the playoffs, because you got to get them used to the game again. You got to get them in basketball shape again. That's why I think the quality of the playoffs will be enhanced by playing some regular season games.
No, I understand that. It's just I don't think that, you know, having, you know, more people than you have to have there is, because let's face it, there's some teams that aren't going to do much in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, but you can't eliminate them. You know, it's not fair to just eliminate them.
I get it.
You know, and plus it helps everybody out. It helps the better teams. You get into some games with the lower teams, you're helping the quality of the product.
Sure.
I think. All right, man, you ready to a general knowledge question? Here we go.
Absolutely. I've never had one before.
Oh, here we go. You got a gold dip rose. Current events by the year. Okay. Now, the question is, 1981 this happened. This political leader quipped, "Honey, I forgot to duck after being shot in an assassination attempt."
I would say Ronald Reagan.
That is correct. Ronald Reagan. Another gold dip rose. Is at the window.
That's right.
That was frightening, that video back then. You saw that video.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
I've
never seen a video?
Mm-mm.
Where it was James Baker, was his secretary of whatever, got hit in the head, got shot in the head, and they were wrestling with Hinckley.
Yeah, I remember.
It was kind of like, y'all, you know, but there was video on it. It was kind of frightening.
No, I've never seen
somebody
the whole
ended
video.
Up in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
He got shot in the head.
He ended up in a wheelchair.
Unless it's had stroke condition, sort of. Like,
that's
the rest of his life. James Baker.
Yeah. And it was a low caliber bullet, or it would have done more damage. It wasn't like a big enough gun.
Yeah, I think they had gun legislation after that because of Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Ron in West Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Yeah, I got a couple of names for your list. It's going to be impossible to get the fine, but...
What list are we talking about here?
About guys we supposedly let go.
Oh, the ones we let go that became stars elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Who you got?
Seth Joyner, Clyde Simmons, Cliff Lee.
Wait. Seth Joyner didn't become a star elsewhere. He was a good player with the Cardinals,
said,
I guess
you
went
stars,
to.
Stars that were here that we let go.
No. The question is stars that we let go that continued their stardom in other places. Like, we gave away a star so he could be a star somewhere else.
And you don't think Seth was a star that right
now? No, he wasn't a superstar when the Eagles got rid of him. He was kind of towards the end when they got rid of him. Clyde Simmons, what did he do after he went from the Eagles?
He had a pretty good season next year.
Yeah, but he didn't become a star elsewhere.
I mean, you ain't said he had to be a star for 5 years. You said when it's...
No, I think you're misconstruing the question. The question is, like, we gave up on a guy who was a star player so he could be a star somewhere else and hurt us. That's the notion that we have, that we always give away our star players. But yeah, we really don't. We give away guys for circumstance.
No, I was reaching. You know, that's going to be impossible. They say we run people out.
Yeah,
the
because there really isn't anybody. There's Reggie White, there's Curt Schilling, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Who else did you have on your list?
I said Cliff Lee, but he falls. I'm just reaching.
Well, and Cliff Lee got him back.
Yeah, but I wanted to go this Brandon Brooks injury. This shows why you don't reach for a first-round receiver and try to draft for need, and you don't draft a second-round quarterback when you already have a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. The guy from Michigan that could have eventually replaced our center, Kelsey, and could have played guard right now.
Well, he was taken in the first round, though. So you would have taken him with the first pick?
We could have. If you think Reagan was a reach, you could have.
Yeah, but you needed, let's face it, you needed help in the wide receiver area more than you needed that position.
Of course, but you go, it's so deep. You go second round, you go ninth, third round, you go somewhere, or you trade up and get Ram. But you just don't reach after you mess up. Especially second round, because I think it was another line.
I agree with you. The second round pick was not a good pick. But you brought up the guy from Michigan, which was doesn't fit your argument.
Yeah, I just was saying when you reach for Rager, if he doesn't, if he's gonna be a gadget player,
yeah. I got you. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question, bro.
Okay.
All right, people buy Clue. I'm gonna give you a clue, and you got to get the person I want in this question. All right, so let's go with Paul Allen, Harvard dropout, polio eradication. Who am I looking for?
I'm blanking. You got me there.
All right, man. That's Bill Gates. Bill Gates. That was probably it. That was a harder one then.
That was tough.
That was tough.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Tom in Roxborough. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, I just heard you guys wondering where the dogs came from earlier. So Ty was almost on it. He was saying, you know, the wolves and foxes. There has been one evidence of fox domestication. I think it was some Russian scientist in the early 20th century, but dogs, as we know it, came from wolves. I think the going theory is that, you know, cavemen were throwing away scraps, and the tamer wolves would come by to the, you know, the junk food pile and, you know, snack on that stuff, and then, you know, humans realized that, you know, they could put the dogs to work. So when the tamer ones would come by, and then generations roll by, they select for those tamer wolves, and eventually they become dogs.
Ah, so they bred the tamer wolves to make them even tamer and more domesticated.
Correct, yes. So that's human selection as opposed to natural
selection.
That's
interesting. So how'd they get all these kinds of species of dogs?
Well, you've dovetailed perfectly into my next point.
Okay, all right.
Yes, yeah, so you can really get a glimpse of how evolution works with dog domestication, because, you know, you got these, as you were talking about, these hundreds or maybe thousands of breeds of, you know, domesticated
right.
dogs.
Yes.
And that's because the human element, humans are selecting for those features, whether it's, you know, tameness or coat color or, you know, stupid noses or whatever. So the fact that humans are actively selecting for those traits, it's kind of like natural selection on steroids. Instead of taking hundreds or thousands of generations, it just takes a couple. You know, that Russian scientist I was talking about who was domesticating foxes selected for tameness and, you know, had, you know, I think, you know, tame foxes in like three or four generations or something.
Interesting. So you see a wolf with a, like a long snout and a wolf with a short snout, and maybe you get a bulldog out of that? You know what I'm saying? Like that's how you do it over generations?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. That's good info, man.
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right. With general knowledge question, you sound like a smart cat.
I was going to say, after talking that knowledge, why not?
Yes. This is easy general knowledge, this category. Let's go with this one here. What dinosaur is thought to have had the most powerful bite of any land animal in history. Now, this should be right up your alley.
I'm going to go with the T-Rex.
That is correct. The Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Do you like dinosaurs?
No.
No? Not even
a little
bit?
I don't dislike them. It's like I don't have any special interest in dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
You don't have like a favorite dinosaur?
No.
At all?
I thought everybody had a favorite dinosaur.
No, I don't know anything
about it. What's yours?
I like the rhino.
Oh.
I don't know anything about dinosaurs.
What's your favorite dinosaur?
I like the pterodactyl.
Oh, it's flying?
Yeah.
Flying around?
What, is this from like the kids' books? Like dinosaur books? People would your parents
no,
would read
them?
I just, like in science class, learn
about the dinosaurs. Oh, yeah, I would pick dinosaurs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about
them? And learn about how smart some worms
are. I have very limited dinosaur knowledge.
Brontosaurus, very dumb.
Yes, brontosaurus
just
are very dumb.
Their job, they survive by being big. So when they have babies, they basically just leave the babies. And some of them get eaten, and some don't. But the ones that eat a lot and get big, they live. And the ones that don't, they die.
I like the. I think the pterodactyl was not an omnivore. So I think that that's why I liked it, because he wouldn't eat other dinosaurs.
There you go.
The only thing I know about T-Rex is that they were a band and they had a hit named Bangagong.
Oh,
man.
Oh, my God.
That's the extent of my T-Rex knowledge. And the lead singer was Mark Boland.
Not even a velociraptor?
T-Rex. Dun, 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 dun. Get it on. Bang a gong. Get on.
I know that one.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. That's a song most people
there you go.
Heard.
That's T-Rex, baby. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers on this lovely Wednesday show on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. And it's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower or if you need other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons is the place to go. They're in Doylestown. You can order online at paulbmoyer.com. Top-notch equipment, and they'll tell you exactly what it's worth to you and how you can use it. And you can order by phone. They have safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 900 votes on today's poll. Do you think the players will follow the NBA bubble protocol? 26% say yes. 74% say no.
Oh, man. They're just thinking that these guys are going to be rebels.
They can't. They really can't be rebels, like, to an extent.
I think it'll be fine. By the way, this new baseball plan, if it passes and of course has legs to go, but we're here in like 65-ish games, baseball would start on the 19th of July.
So they would be the first major team sport back.
There you go.
In that scenario. So,
we shall see.
Yeah, MLS obviously doesn't really count. They'll be back. Okay. But they'll still have a couple weeks to themselves, but not the whole month.
All right.
That'll be interesting. A Monday start, and then in that scenario, they would fit 65 games in 73 days. So there would be some days off, 8 mm-hmm. days off. Okay. That's probably standard.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And again, we'll take phone calls until we get out of here. No sound off today. Let's go to Lansdowne, the great Vicente. Vicente, ¿cómo está usted?
Hola, amigo, Mike and Miss, Stallone and Natalie, how are you?
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, we're doing wonderful here. Earlier on, like an hour ago, I had a video conference call with my doctor. So it was a video consultation.
Uh-huh.
It feels a little weird, you know, but I was prepared giving him all my statistics, so to speak.
wait. Hold a second. Do you have to show him stuff video-wise?
No, I just told him I took my blood pressure.
Okay.
And I gave him the measurements, you know, the stuff. I took my weight. I took my temperature.
Oh, okay. You take all that and give it to him.
Yes, but I was ready and talking to him and showing him my office, actually, for the first time, you know. So it was kind of weird.
I mean, a lot of doctors are flourishing with their patients through these video conferences, which is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I admire number 79, Brandon Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
He's already doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu in just 2 days after his Achilles injury.
Oh, he is?
The man is an animal. He's unstoppable.
So they did the surgery already? No, they haven't done the surgery. Okay.
He's wearing a boot. He's wearing a boot.
Yeah.
But
okay.
He's still, you know, practicing the sports that he likes the most. It's like, you know, doing martial arts and stuff.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. The question is for you, who do you think is the suitable option? Matt Pryor, Jason Peters, Nate Herbig? Who else?
You know, it's a really good question. The easiest thing that I can think of, and most people are thinking, is that Jason Peters would play guard. And that I think avoids a couple of situations. Number one, it avoids an untested guy that you have to throw in there. Number two, it keeps the other guy at left tackle and doesn't put Jason Peters at left tackle where he can come in and out of the game. If he gets banged up, I think if they can easier replace that right guard position with him than they could if he started at left tackle. So to me, that's the most obvious one.
Right. He will accept any money that the Eagles will throw at him, less than $7 million?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It would probably have to be less than $7
million. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, would somebody pay him that to play left tackle? I'm assuming there would be a team that probably would. So I don't know how feasible it is. I think he would have to want to be here because of the familiarity of it and because it might be the last year of his career. And you don't want to transition to another city.
Right. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He can change the position, you know, 38 years old.
Correct, so, Mundo.
Okay, correct.
All right, buddy. Now, here's your general knowledge question.
A very easy one.
Well, this is a very easy one. This is 1980s, highest grossing 1980s movies. All right, so this grossed $177 million. It's like 12th on the list. Actor uses cross-dressing to advance his career.
Oh, that's Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie.
That is correcto mundo, buddy. Correcto mundo, Tootsie.
He knows so much.
He really does. It's amazing. Like he even like the American movies of the 80s, my man's plugged in.
He's just so knowledgeable.
Yeah. I didn't like that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've heard of it, but I never saw it.
I didn't love it.
Yeah.
It was almost like, even as a kid, I thought, where's the joke?
Well, why did you like Mrs. Doubtfire?
Because it connected because a man going to desperate means to see his children. Like Sally Fields was being a jerk.
Yeah.
Not letting him see his own kids.
And so, Robin Williams is funny. He was funny as Mrs. Doubtfire.
I don't agree that Robin Williams was funny, personally, but I thought that character, he hit the right notes.
Uh-huh.
And so it connected with me. Like, I thought it was nice that a dad would go that to those lengths to see his kids.
Hello!
Because he wanted to see his kids every day, and she was being real funny about it and stuff, so I also hated Sally Field after that.
Yeah, well, on that note, I just read a story where a guy, a husband, just found out that his three children weren't his. So he lived his whole life, raised a family, three sons.
Three of them?
Three sons. And they were married for like 21 years. They got divorced. But he goes to the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses him with MS. And says that he was incapable of fathering a child.
What?
Ooh.
And so now he does a little investigative work and he confronts the woman eventually fesses up that she had three kids with another guy.
With one other guy.
She was married to him?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Three. Like
three children.
See,
one is something.
Like one. not that it's okay, but I can maybe see it. I can see it. Three, like, she's such a wretched human being.
And then she went home and said, oh, this is your child?
Three different times.
Yeah, I guess she didn't say anything. They just went along with it, like, you know.
See, that's...
And maybe she didn't know whose it was. That's why she kept her mouth shut, and if she was married to him.
Possible.
But that's so sad.
Three times, that's a long-term affair.
Yes.
That's a long-term affair. Yeah. Those I can't wrap by. First of all, how do you have the energy? As a married man, I don't have time for... Straight up, not because I'm noble, I couldn't pull off a long-term affair. I would not be able
to pull
it off.
People do it. People do it.
I don't know how you do it.
And it was a guy the guy had met.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Your wife admitted that he knows who it is, but she wouldn't tell him who it was.
Who does have time?
Like, how do you have time for that? You got to go to work. You got to do all this stuff. You have to raise the kids.
Now this is a conversation with the kids.
It's so tragic for them.
It really is.
I know the kids will still look at him as their dad.
Yeah, and that's how it was reconciled, according to the story. But
did they reach out to the other guy?
They probably know him. If he met him, the kids might have met him.
I don't think the story fleshed that out at all, but their kid's relationship with this.
Was he an uncle?
With the sperm man.
Was he his friend and uncle?
It was a worker in her field or something.
And he didn't care, clearly. Goodness.
All right, let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Anthony.
Mike, you didn't read that. You've been watching Jerry.
I swear to God, I read it today. I read it today. I forget where it happened. I don't know what part. It might have been in the UK, but I read the story. It was like one of those odd stories that, you know, appears on your internet.
Hey, even though you reminded me that Jake Arrieta is our number three while I was on hold, we got Joe Girardi, who I'm a big fan of. There's no way Bryce Harper is going to get off to a worse start than he did last year. We got Zach Wheeler at our number two. We've been finishing after the first 50, 60 games in first place in the past two seasons, even without that. There's got to be a chance that we could do something.
Well, it's interesting that you say that about Bryce Harper, because I think the opposite. I think there's more likely the hitters get off to a terrible start than pitchers. That's why I'm focused on what the first three guys can give the Phillies, because I know the pitching is what's going to get you off to a good start. These guys aren't going to come out of the game rip. You always know that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters early on.
I knew that. And that guy who said that our draft pick is throwing 20 more walks and strikeouts also was great news. I was on hold, too. But anyway, I do have an NBA point I wanted to run past you. Uh-huh. I'm a smoker, and I'm not talking about cigarettes. How the hell are you going to bring 3 months of weed to Florida? That's the problem. The first guy who's going to leave the campus is the guy who didn't bring enough. No?
I mean, they're gonna drive there, right?
Dude, did they buy like some kind of humidifiers? You realize what that place is gonna smell like? It's gonna be great.
I guess you can get a package. Hey, you still get packages in the mail.
That's a federal crime, Mike. That's federal. You can't do that.
I guess it is. You raise an interesting point, but I'm thinking that you could drive and, you know, you get that box is, you know, doesn't have to be full of clothes.
Florida's a rough state, man. They catch you with anything. They lock you up.
You're throwing a wrench into the spoke here, man. Come on. All right, let's go. This is current events between 1970 and 1990. Are you ready for that challenge?
Perfect. I'm 49. That's my wheelhouse.
Okay. Now, this is a tricky question. All right. Now, you got to know this to get it right. 1978, 900 followers of Jim Jones commit suicide by drinking poison mixed with this beverage. It had a specific name, and it wasn't Kool-Aid.
I'll guess Tang. It's the only thing I know. I have no idea, dude.
Sorry, man. This is also a tough question, but the stuff was called Flavor-Aid, not Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
Flavor-Aid.
We made fun of those kids.
Oh.
What, the Flavor Aid kids?
Yeah, come on, man.
That was the Bobo Kool-Aid.
Yeah, if you had Bobo Kool-Aid, you would get ridiculed.
That wasn't the kids' fault.
That's not right, man. Come on.
What are you talking about? I got made fun of for stuff, too. Like, everybody, like listen.
You ridiculed me because it wasn't the genuine Kool-Aid.
Yeah, like, You guys got a Kool-Aid, and you see, like, they
the
bring you Kool-Aid. You
can,
first of all, it tastes different. So you can kind of tell. You go, hey, this isn't Kool-Aid.
What is this?
Oh, and it's Flavor Aid.
It's funny because I got ridiculed once because my parents would never, my dad would never spend for the Converse, right?
Right.
So, like the second brand down from Converse was Beta Bullets.
Did you have the Beta Bullets?
Beta Bullets was like the second level below the Converse, but they were more affordable. Well, so I got mocked for wearing the Beta Bullets, not the Con.
I had 4-stripe Adidas because my mom wasn't
4-stripe.
She didn't buy me the 3-stripe Adidas. And they said they called
that's
me.
That's a Payless brand.
It was, and they called me Fadidas.
That's a Payless Bobo 4-stripe.
I went home crying, and she ran out and got me them the next day. She's like, I didn't think it'd be a big deal. She didn't know. Fadidas.
That's hysterical.
It was terrible.
All right, coming down a home stretch. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's 547, and time for just a few more calls here on General Knowledge Wednesday, presented by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testa. So everybody that gets a correct answer on General Knowledge, you win a gold dip rose, courtesy of Steven Singer Jewelers. And we got about 10 minutes to play. Let's go to Steven in Medford. Steven, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up, Steven?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I saw you about, 25 years ago, down on Columbus Ave. I forget what the name of the bar was.
Oh, Philly Rock.
Yeah, that's what
that
it was.
That was the first remote I ever did with Steve. No, it was actually his second. The first one was called, was in Northeast, Nat. Gyros.
Gyros.
That was our first remote.
I think it's still
there. Is
it?
Yeah.
All right. It was just ironic. You just brought up that story about about that woman. Mm-hmm. And I was there with my ex-wife at the time, and I kind of went through the same situation, but it turned out positive.
Oh, no.
She was messing around with a guy for a year while she was pregnant the whole time.
Oh,
so yeah,
that's an ugly way to end that relationship.
Yeah, no, it was. But she's still good. She's 19 years old. Beautiful girl, yes.
So everything worked.
Everything worked
happily
great.
Ever after? You went on and she went on?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
All right, cool.
Yep. I have another son, 10 years old. So everything went good. Question for you was, since Jeffrey Lurie did it before, and Chargers are thinking about inviting Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Eagles would actually think of doing that since they don't like?
No. They don't have any need for him now.
To help Hurts?
No, they wouldn't do that. At this point, yeah.
I was just wondering.
No,
they did it before.
No, I know. Like you would think that would be open to a guy like Jeffrey Lurie, but right now they don't have any room to do that.
Right. Now I understand that. They need more positions.
All right, man. A general knowledge question for you: try to get a gold dip rose. All right, I'm going to give you three clues, and you got to tell me the person I'm looking for on the three clues. So if I say to you Hanoi workout tapes, Ted
Jane
Turner.
Fonda.
Boom! Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda workout tapes. Are those deals? VCR?
I remember hearing
them. Pop it in. Boom.
She still looks great.
Yeah.
I hope I look like her at whatever age she is. She's what, in her 70s?
No, older than that.
Is she?
Yeah, I think she's at least 80.
She's a fox.
But you got to spend the money. I mean, not that it's still.
No, but she doesn't even look too worked on.
No, she admits it.
Oh, no, that's fine, but she doesn't look too worked on.
That's why you pay top dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looked good in those workout tapes, though. That's the era. Remember that era of workout tapes where he had it was the TV show. Remember Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours? And he came out and he was looking at TV.
Yeah.
And so the girls were exercising.
Mm-hmm.
That was his TV show.
That was a show?
Yeah, it was a show. It was like, I forget what the name of it was, but that was the whole show that they would work, these girls in the tights would do the exercises.
Early in ESPN2, there was quite a bit of the show.
Yeah, that was the Keanu.
Keanu Tom. There was a guy, too, like, I forget his name. He had his own show with a funny, like,
yes.
It would come on and he would, like, jump or something. Yes. He had his own, like, a
this
few
one,
of those.
I think this was the first one. It was before, it didn't have any talk.
It was just the
exercises.
Like, Keanu Tom would talk to the people.
Right.
Yeah, I remember her.
All right, let's go Reggie on a cell. Reggie, you're on 97.5
The Fanatic. Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Reggie?
What's up, Mike? What I wanted, you were talking about guys that left Philly and, you know, they kind of heard us, but this guy didn't. But I always think about Lou Williams. I don't know why.
That's actually a pretty good one. Yeah, Lou Williams was a good player here, and he. Lou, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's actually a good under the radar one.
Yeah, every time I see him, I was like, damn, if the Sixers still had Lou Williams, I don't know how far we could have went. But anyway, and I see you.
But
still,
he's the type of guy that he couldn't defend at all, and it's like you're trying to build a team, and his defense was so blatantly bad that I guess the only role they could carve out for him was off the bench as an offensive player in his career.
Well, I think he would have helped us.
He definitely would have, but I don't know if you have patience for a guy who can't defend unless you're a great team and he's a role player.
All right, so give me a question, Mike.
All right, here we go. These questions are easy general knowledge, so you should knock this one down, okay? All right, so let's go with this one here. In what country would you find the headquarters of the electronics company Samsung?
What country?
It's an Asian country, Samsung, but it's not Japan.
I'm going to say Korea, South Korea.
That's correct.
I don't know, because somebody helped him in the background.
Yeah, it was his wife.
But that's okay. She's going to get the rose.
Exactly. She's going to get the rose. That's why he called. David, cell phone. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? First time, long time.
Thanks, buddy.
Guys are making me laugh. First of all, Keanu, I remember that. That was nice.
Keanu Tom wound up marrying Bert Grossman, the defensive lineman.
You don't say, anyway.
And he's a local dude.
I got a question for Mike. Two guys, you forgot Flyers on your list, the guys that went on to become superstars.
Uh-huh.
Rod Brindamore, Jeff Carter.
We talked about Carter earlier. Brindamore, all right, Brindamore's a good one.
And then there's three Flyers guys they gave up on too soon. Justin Williams, Scott Mellenby, and Bobrovsky.
Yeah, all three of them had success. Yeah, that's role players, though, not like superstars.
Well, Bobrovsky won a Vezina.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, all right. All right, here's
and
the last.
Got the Pro Keds, the sneakers.
Pro Keds, I wore Pro Keds in high school. They were our high school team sneakers. Red suede Pro Keds, dude.
Yeah, they were.
All right. So let me give you the question. Final question of the day, and this is 1980s top grossing movies. $175 million. This movie, Australian Bushman woos a sophisticated Sheila from the States. Crocodile Dundee is correct. So the top grossing movie was E.T. And then there was Return of the Jedi, Batman, Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Empire Strikes Back, Indiana Jones, Tootsie, Top Gun, Crocodile Dundee, Rain Man. All right, stay tuned. Devon Gibbons follows this show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Signing Harper, followed by Game 3, 2008 World Series. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.